The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 314 of the Nine News podcast. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Stu, do I sound a bit deflated to you? I feel like I said that in a very sort of downbeat manner.
It's a weird one, isn't it? We can't go down and we're not going up, as the old song goes. And I'm not deflated. I'm just really, it feels like it's not a pre-season, but it just feels like the season's just, we've not been in this situation, have we, where we've had so many games to look forward to that basically mean very little.
Look forward to, I suppose. Look towards. I'm not sure how much I'm looking forward to them. But yes, this week on the podcast, we'll discuss where our season is after a disappointing February. We'll review the games with Gillingham and Stevenage. We'll look ahead to the visit of Mansfield on Saturday. A few other bits and pieces, including some FA Cup and VAR discussion. Jackson 5, maybe on that side of it as well. But Stu, the state of play now is we are 15th. In League Two, we are 11 points outside the playoffs. We are 1-10. We didn't win a game in the entirety of February. So it does very much feel like we are now playing for pride for the remainder of the season, especially given our burgeoning injury list.
Yeah, it's like a perfect storm in a way, isn't it? It's you've got a feel for Johnny Jackson. He got towards the end of the January window. And he was right, as he said this week, you know, he got to a stage where he was leaving senior pros out of the squad. And then we're getting to a stage where we can't even fill the bench because of injuries. So it just shows you how quickly things turn around, doesn't it? It's a weird one because, you know, you think about we had Sam Pearson, we've got on loan, he couldn't even get on the bench. And we had Desamy, who couldn't get on the bench, DJ for short. And now we can't even fill the bench. So it's... yeah, it's a perfect storm. February, it's weird in a way, isn't it? You know, we were celebrating the 13th clean sheet for Nick Zanev recently, and it feels like it's that number 13's unlucky because since then he's conceded 7 goals in 3 games. But they're more exciting. So I don't know, it's catch-22, isn't it? You know, you and I are both just obviously going to discuss the image, but it was a good game to watch and it had goals.
This is the thing I wanted to say, because a couple of weeks ago on the podcast I said it's all very, very boring. I'd love us to just loosen the shackles a little bit, have some entertaining games, because it doesn't really matter. We can just go and sort of see if we can see some goals, be more attacking. The irony in this is that the Stevenage game on Tuesday night, we lost. We conceded 3 goals. We were more open and attacking, but I don't think we conceded 3 goals because of the way we tried to take the game to Stevenage or the way we tried to play more football or anything like that. I think we gave away 3 awful goals. And on another day, we'd have... Well, okay, they gave away a very, very poor one themselves, to be fair. But it was nothing to do with us being more expansive or open or anything like that. I just think just basic defending balls into our box that we got done with. And similarly... Similar story the last couple of games, Gillingham and Hartlepool.
Yeah, set pieces. Which, to be fair, a lot of goals are scored from set pieces or second phases, aren't they? But Gillingham conceded a second free kick and a goal. Yeah, do you know what? Stevenage, I think Joey Jackson alluded to it, but we must have run through patterns of play and where their dangers were, you know, on the 9 years pre-match. I highlighted their, you know, their centre-half, Pellegrini. Is it Pellegrini? I don't know what his name is. Their number 5.
Pergiani, I think.
Pergiani, yeah, Johnny. I'm guessing he's Italian.
I think so.
Probably isn't now, I said that.
No, I think he was born in, like, Windsor.
He must have Italian heritage somewhere. Anyway, their number 5. We surely, you know, we picked him out. 6 goals from centre-half, 2 assists. And we allow him to, well, they blocked him off. And you know, you just sit there and think, yeah, you know, we can pick 3 goals and I'm sure we will, but yeah, they weren't down to us, you know, being expansive and attacking with 3 or 4 forwards, it was just simply switching off at times.
Pierre Gianni was born in Peterborough. I have just Googled it.
Do
There
you
you
know
go.
what? I'm just remembering it because I actually put it on a slide.
Amazing.
Like, he must have some Italian in him, surely. That like a name like that.
I don't want to know about his personal life. But anyway, let's talk about the let's go into the details of the game. Well, let's first of all, okay, let's talk about the goals we conceded. We don't want to start on negatives because there are positives, including Ali Alhamady with four
Definitely.
goals in three games. But we have lost the game. And as you said there, Stu, strengths being set pieces and things like that. The first goal. I mean, there's so many things to this, isn't there? Like you say, I mean, the first goal, the quickly taken free kick, but who puts the cross in the box? Jake Forster-Karski. We don't have a player like Jake Forster-Karski on the bench. We don't have a Bostwick on the bench. We don't have a Roberts on the bench. And these are all players they brought in. I think, is it Tomkinson they brought on, who was Norwich loanee?
Yeah.
So
Well, I think Steve Evans took the mick a little bit, right? Because he made five subs where we couldn't really make five subs because one of them was a goalkeeper.
yeah, and one of them was Jenner, who we did bring on as well, to be fair. But yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, do you know what? The subs, you're right. The strength of the bench was probably the difference on Tuesday night. They bought three subs on, as you're right. Caskey bought on Bostwick and bought on the other guy, I can't remember his name now, but the
Roberts.
other guy. That's it. And they made him, yeah, the midfield, they dominated the midfield within that. And it causes a problem. They got that impetus from it. And it's, do you know what, it's typical Steve Evans. If you've looked at a lot of Steve Evans' teams, he does that a lot. He's not shy in making positive substitutions. Do you know what I mean? And he did it, and it made a difference. But it's so annoying. It's the corner, isn't it? So it's the corner. I think Alhamady and Chiswick are slow to pick up the short as they go out, and then Will gets blocked off. It's annoying. It's annoying that he's got blocked off in a free header within that. But I think, if you look through the other, the second goal is a breakaway. And we just don't recover quickly enough, and then we get an unfortunate own goal. But the third goal is similar to the first in a way. We just didn't pick up.
Yeah.
And they're the basics in a way. They're communication. But then equally again, are they communication that's been difficult, bearing in mind the changes we've had to keep making to our centre half pairings and stuff like that. So they don't help. And we have to say, since Alex Pearce has been injured, we've seen massively how important he was to us in terms of organisational.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So, I mean, since he's been injured, it's 7 goals in. We say 3 games, but I mean, the Hartlepool game was what, in the last 20 minutes, both their goals. So, not even that really. And we will jump around, I think, a few different issues here because there's so much to talk about, I think. The substitutions is an excellent point. The squad depth they have is an excellent point. It changed again the first half because everyone said, it was at least it was a more entertaining game of football. Actually, the first half was not entertaining. I didn't think personally. I thought it was typical of what we sort of see a lot of recently. Balls in the air. A horrendous amount of time, very little quality on show. It was exactly the game of football I was anticipating, given our poor run of form and their poor run of form coming into the game. And the only difference was is their goalkeeper's come and completely lost a cross, and Alhamady's been able to knob it in. I mean, how's he put the ball? How's he actually score that goal?
What did you describe it as?
He knobbed it in.
I'm not getting involved in that one. Yeah, do you know what? From my view, it was it. Hey, look, it looked like the keeper lost it within the floodlights. It was quite a high loop in. He's definitely lost the flight of the ball. And to be fair to Alhamady, he's coming on the back stick and he's got something on it, and it's just rolled in. Everyone naturally looks at the linesman because you think, well, he must be offside, because you just look and goes, well, there's something wrong with that. The irony was is that he made a cracking save before that when Almady got in, chucked it onto his left foot, and their keeper seemed to be better when he didn't have to think, and then when he did have to think, he wasn't as good, which is probably a lot of keepers, isn't it? But do you know what? Yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't overly entertaining, but I think from my point of view, I felt it was encouraging because Steve Majora test, because you know what sort of team they are, they fight strong, that, and I felt we lived with them and we probably could have edged it in terms of the chances we had. So I suppose from that point of view, the first half was really good. And I think what was interesting as well is that Alhamady and Josh Davidson were closer together. It looked like a two up. They It's obvious that Ali doesn't want to play out wide. Why would you when he's so dangerous through the middle? I was quite encouraged by them two being closer. And we looked more of a threat. Josh Jameson all of a sudden had a partner after being lonely for all the season, do you know what I mean, on his own. So, yes, it wasn't an exciting first half, but it was encouraging and led into the second half. And of course, he went in there with a goal lead that we probably, on balance, probably deserved and deserved.
But then, as you say, the subs made a difference. The change in shape made a difference. They started off with a back four, Stevenage. They switched it. They went to a back three, got wing backs involved. And as you say, Bostwick stood in the middle of the park and basically just won everything. Same, I mean, Sweeney won pretty much everything in the air as well. And they were on top of them, and they go 2-1 up. And okay, the second goal took that first goal. Second goal's a breakaway, it is, but it comes from our free kick where we just refused to stick a ball in the box. We probably didn't want to stick any crosses in the box because Sweeney and Piergiani were just winning everything in the air. They're giants. We were trying to keep it on the ground as much as we could. But anyway, they break away. They get the second goal. I think they thought they'd won the game at 2-1, and I think they've completely backed off, surrendered all the possession, all the territory. I think the goal, we weren't creating a great deal again, but we were forcing them back, and we were dominating possession. We equalise. Great goal, by the way, in the sense of the run by McAteer and the pass by George Marsh, who I thought was excellent coming on. And it's almost like we equalised, and Stevenage went, "Oh, do you know what? No, we're not having this." And then all of a sudden, they picked it back up again. They picked up the intensity and the pace of the game, and I think in the end, they sort of they won it. They can't really argue about them winning the game in the end of it, to be honest with you. But
It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because if you look at it, we've had a great Alvin Maddie's had a great chance when he's 1-on-1 with the keeper, smashed it.
true.
Do you know what? I think a draw would have been a fair result. However, they just had they were probably more streetwise.
I think that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, I think especially when it's 3-2, they completely killed it, even for 6 minutes of injury time.
And that's what they're going to do. I think the thing is they couldn't come out the actual pace, the tempo they had for probably the first 10 minutes of the second half. They couldn't continue that. Definitely, obviously, Steve Evans and Rayner have wound them up in the dressing room because they come out. As soon as the subs come on, I don't know about you, but I was like, we're in trouble now. You could just see exactly what they were going to do. But we just couldn't compete in the midfield. And poor, Alex Widgard had an absolute challenge in there because that's not, to be fair, that's not going to be a Marnie Little's game of battling in with them two in there. But they couldn't keep that pace up for that period. Thing was, I always felt we had another goal in us because again, our Madi through the middle just didn't give them any time. They didn't like him at all. They
No.
didn't like him. You could tell by their body language, they didn't want to be out with him. And he really challenged them. And you're right, the free kick, in a way, I didn't want us to chuck the ball in because, as you say, they're just going to wipe it out. So you did have to be a bit smarter, try and work it in the angles, and we got caught, caught. And the own goal was. Look, McAteer's running and it's just hit him. Any other day, that might, roll back into Zanev. The third goal is just, do you know what? I was at the other end and I was just amazed that we had two on the back stick, three, and I thought they'd just again been blocked, but we didn't pick them up. You don't, didn't even pick them up, and I don't get that because it wasn't as if that free kick was a quick free kick. There was enough time in that free kick, and it's just that communication. How do you leave a top goal scorer, Norris, free? I just don't get it. I
No,
don't get it.
there's no answer to it. It's
There was no zone of marking. It was just man for man. And you just think you can, and you can see Johnny Jackson literally losing the will to live because he can probably see that as well. So there's things. And it's not saying that Will Nightingale and. Paul Cannon-Bailly weren't good. It was just that there wasn't that leadership, which Will would normally give. But then Will's only just come back from injury, so he's probably concentrating on his own game more than anything. But yeah, the goal is just it's a car crash of a goal. And hey, do you know what? Stevenage celebrated as if they knew how tough a game we gave them. We did give them a tough game.
I think that's the that we I think we started February playing an Orient team, top of the league, who were struggling for a bit of form and confidence, and you saw in their celebrations when they beat us and scored against us that they knew it, and there was a big sense of relief that came with that. And I think we saw identical Stevenage, as you say, Stu, the way they celebrated it. It was in their heads, I suppose, get themselves back on track after a dodgy spell. So, I mean, I'd expect to see them
But
finish
they ain't
top
needed
three.
that. It was their game in hand, wasn't it? So they've gone back above Carlisle. So, Leyton Orient looked like they're going to win the league at a canter. And that's why I thought we actually probably at 2-2 we might have a chance, because they probably wanted to get up. They had the 3 points, didn't they? And you sense they wanted to go for the winner. And it was that sort of thing. Hey, look, do you know what? That's going to give them a massive push to get, because obviously they haven't won in a few away games and stuff like that. But equally, do you know what? When you look at the injuries and the players we didn't have, for us to compete with them was encouraging. It was encouraging. But our squad depth just isn't there at the moment. And it showed in, people were saying, why did we not bring Pearson and Jana on earlier? We only brought them on because we had no choice. And that's nothing. What you do, you can't bring Jana on and Pearson on against a Stevenage team that are going to kick the living daylights out of them. Do you know what I mean? That's just a fact of life. Pace wise, they're great, but there wasn't anything on the bench realistically to change it. And that's where Stevenage had the advantage, and we just had nothing to up it. Which, to be fair to Johnny Jackson, he did bring in the options, but unfortunately, we've picked up injuries. Which, to be honest with you, there's been discussion around injuries. With the amount of injuries we're picking up, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we talk about on Tuesday missing. We knew Alex Pearce, Harry Pell. We already knew about Hussein Billah, who's going out for a little while. Jack Curry out, DJ out. And then you get Lee Brown picking up a knock, and that looks like one that's going to keep him out for a good while as well now. So you hope Jack Curry seemed to be moving okay on social media today. So hopefully he comes back in on Saturday, but again, you're not going to be adding to the numbers on the bench unless you bring in like a Sasu or someone. But again, nobody needs seven subs on the bench anyway. It's a ridiculous rule. We should scrap that five subs rule. It's a nonsense.
I knew you'd cover with that. I knew you wouldn't be too bothered. Do you know what? With the Lee Brown injury, I felt it was he knew he had a knock, or he was trying to get him, because he looked really frustrated. And it didn't seem to me to be a frustration of getting injured. I felt he probably knew that he was playing probably for the pain barrier or something like that. And because I wouldn't be surprised, let's be fair, this Woodyard come off on Saturday for a knock. I wouldn't be surprised if we were playing for with quite a few players with knocks, injuries,
Josh as
And
well.
do you know what I mean? And Will Nightingale, let's be fair, can he play on Saturday? Because that's three games in
Yeah,
a week
true.
for someone who's just come back in. So there was a lot. Hey, look, do you know what? There's a lot of factors in, which is why I come away from the game going, do you know what? I'm actually really proud of them for what they've done. Because I think for what we had available to us, and I think the challenge we had, I think we did okay. But on the cold light of day, you're going to look back at the goals conceded and go, do you know what? They were avoidable.
The other point I want to make about the Stevenage game is just, we are kind of looking now at sort of a mid-table season, and we've got on loan someone who looks like he's a really good player, and that is Casey Mcateer. And it's just a shame because, I mean, we're not really going to maximise his time with us for ourselves selfishly. The sort of player, sort of loan you get in, like a Kelle Roos who comes in and helps you get promoted. Or an Aaron Ramsdale that comes in and helps you stay in the league. Mcateer looks like he's got real ability, and really, it's not really going to take us anywhere.
And versatile
And
as well.
yeah, good
You
point.
know, that's the thing about him. I think he's playing three different positions in his games. I was really impressed with him. Not overly against Gingham, and my little, but then Gingham's a tough game with the squad they've got. But yeah, I agree with what you mean. And then you have to get to a stage also going, do you know what? If we are going to be literally just playing for, well, just seeing the fixtures out, we're then obviously looking into where we're going to be next season. So the argument is, do you play Mcateer? Do you play Pearson? Do you play Janet? If you've got no choice to fill the numbers
Of
up, then
course,
yes. But unless, it looks like the Amari Little there potentially could be something with Forest Green not wanting him, technically. And he looks like he's enjoying it. So Amari Little, I think you play. So I think we've probably got a little bit of an eye of keeping him next season. I definitely hope we have. But Mcateer, let's be fair, is going to go back to Leicester. Unlikely we're going to get another loan with him. So I think we have to then start looking. And then your argument does come then, Alfie Bendall's out on loan, probably keep him at Eastbourne Borough. Do you then have a look and go, right, who's going to be available for next season? Because you might as well use that time. It'd be stupid to not use that time to go into. Let's be fair. It might be the first time since 2018 that we have a manager seeing out the season, going into the summer, knowing his squad rather than spending the summer trying to build a new squad.
Plenty of food for thought in terms of how we build for next season. But as I said all along, Stu, hey, look, I was positioning us about 15th or 16th pre-season. I thought that's where we'd end up. And I said, as I've said all season, fine by me. Yes, we're seeing out the season. It might not be particularly exciting, but stability after what happened last season. And now we must, well, now we need to start thinking, as you say, with a little bit more of a long-term plan ahead. So, yeah, I'm not unhappy by any stretch of the imagination. Believe me, it's just frustrating when you see things like 1 win in 10. I mean, the flip side of that is that was our first home league defeat since the Sutton game back in October. So it's lies, damn lies, and statistics, I guess. But
Yeah, it's our fourth defeat at home, isn't it?
okay.
And we've got a decent home record. I wasn't aware it was that long. Obviously, since I suppose, of course, you've got the Chesterfield game in the cup,
Chesterfield,
of
yeah.
course. But yeah, do you know what? I think I wouldn't say we've got a fortress, but I would say we're strong at home. Definitely the teams we've sent back packing. In terms of Stockport County and Leyton Orient. That's a good. So I think, hey, Joel, I would be disappointed if we finished as low as 16th, if I'm being honest with you. I think if we can just finish maybe around about 12th, 13th, I think that would be a fair reflection on the season. But ultimately, you're right, it's about consolidation and where do we go next season? Because we can't go in, we can't go into the summer like we did this summer. If you're fair, we didn't have Harry Pell, he wasn't fit.
True.
Took a little while for Harry Pell. We didn't have a settled squad, so. All the benefits of having a settled manager is you technically get a settled squad. So I'm excited. Yeah, do you know what? I think I'm content with what we've done. I think, seeing 10, 10 wins this season is great.
Yeah.
Two seasons. So, League Two has been better than what I thought. But now we need to build. And with Craig Coat coming in, he's got that time to start going out and looking at games, he's doing already.
I'm assured, and I'm sure it probably is true, that the level in League Two is higher than when we left it in 2016. But I promise you, when I was watching that first half on Tuesday night, I did actually turn. I sat next to my dad and I turned to him and I said, was it ever this bad? Because honestly, some of the games of late, like Carlisle, not Carlisle, well, Carlisle to an extent, Hartlepool certainly, at times I was thinking, this is a parody of a football match. The ball just up in the air, head tennis for about 5 minutes before someone overhits a pass out of play. It was just really poor. But hey, I think on the whole, it probably has improved technically, as you'd expect it to have done. Certainly non-league seems to have done so. But
It's better players. I think it's an interesting question, actually. It's an interesting thought because there's better players. Naturally, with quality through the Premier League and then the Championship, players drop down levels. But ultimately, nothing's changed. It's literally winning your battles. League Two, if you look at the teams that are up at the top, we know what we need. We know what team we need next season, in terms of the to win your battles and play percentage football. But equally, hey, look, the most exciting thing is that our two forwards are ours. Al Hammadi and Josh Davidson are ours. They're young, they're getting better. Let's be fair, 4 goals in 3 games with Al Hammadi, and he could have had a lot more than that. He's won the man and player of the match for the last two
Man of the match.
home games.
Don't wind me up, Stu.
Yes. The person of the match.
No.
The somebody of the match. Yes, it were, yeah. But he's won that, and to be fair, he's won that. All right, you could argue that McAteer might have run him a little bit close on Tuesday night, but I think we've got a player in him. I really do, and that's exciting.
Talking about football and the football that he's played at League Two level, I saw a great exhibition of it last night. So this would have been Wednesday night, as Grimsby won at Southampton. Southampton pretty much didn't turn up, to use that cliche. They were woeful, but all those familiar League Two little tricks and League Two nous was on display at times from Grimsby, who won. But fair play to them, they won. They've got the result 2-1. Great day out for them, great evening out for them, whatever it is. They go into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup as a League Two team, which doesn't happen very often. So, hey, look, fair play to them. They got a little bit of an advantage of having VAR. Kind of feel sorry. This is where VAR really, I know you're going to get onto it as well, Stu, but just very quickly, kind of irritates me. Grimsby got their first penalty for a handball that nobody saw or even complained against or had any influence on the game whatsoever, but it was a technicality as a handball. But they had the advantage of the VAR because they were at a Premier League ground. Fleetwood did not have the advantage of VAR because they were not at a Premier League stadium, and they had a player sent off, which I think perhaps maybe with a VAR check, perhaps wouldn't have been. So it just seems unfair that games are played under different circumstances within the same competition. But anyway, that's the
Different
least
rules.
of my worries about VAR.
It's different rules, isn't it? It's different. Hey, look, do you know what? I think the FA Cup, if you can't have every team having the same conditions, you don't use them. Simple
Yeah,
as that. VAR
that's
is not
my view,
used
yeah.
for. Surely that's got to be the way, you know. Because you can't be a case of you. Hey, look, I didn't watch any FA Cup because I'm a little bit like, well, FA Cup first cap, you know, FA Cup in the midweek. It's just annoying as hell. And I still want to watch it. I'm trying to measure what games I watch, I'm being honest with you, because otherwise you can watch too many. And then the wife won't talk to me if she
You
does
run that
anyway.
risk at the best of times.
Yes, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Or she just comments on games and makes stupid comments. So that's sometimes.
See, what
But
the listeners don't know is that she sat right beside you now at this very moment in
yeah, she
time.
is. And she's got to keep quiet, which is great. It's the only time she has, the only time she don't moan. And now she's I think she's pointing one or two people. I don't know what she's saying towards me. But you know what? VAR reminds, you know, the situation you talk about with Fleetwood reminds me of when I was younger when we used to play five a side. I'll explain what I mean, right? We played in a league that was outdoors and you could kick the ball out and have a bit of a breather when you were knackered, which was quite a lot. And then they had a cup competition that you then the home team played on their natural pitch. So there was a league that we played indoors.
Right.
We played indoors and got absolutely battered because we just weren't, there were different rules. Like we couldn't kick the ball out for miles because the ball kept coming back and hitting the wall. It's a little bit like you think, well, actually, we'd have beat you if we had our own. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's got to be consistent. Otherwise, you get a mockery of it in that sort of way. But the VAR, what I would say is the Zilic situation on so Tottenham Chelsea on the weekend, absolute crazy of how you. So VAR can't, apparently, VAR can't review yellow cards. Apparently, or something. So Zilic would basically pushed one of the Tottenham players in a melee that referee was right in the middle of and just couldn't get. And it looked obvious that, hey, look, Joe, what? The Tottenham player went down after when he realised that he might get someone sent off for it. But the referee couldn't get it reviewed by the VAR because I think is that the yellow card was used. So in the end, he had to send Zilic off with a red card. But then that meant that it could be reviewed on VAR. Because it was a so then so Zidic got a red card, laughed, moaned, stood on the side, didn't come off the pitch. I think he was told not to. Then the referee, the on pitch referee, was then sent to the screen to look at the incident that he was in the middle of, and then reversed the red card and gave me a yellow card. And it took 3 or 4 minutes.
This
And I
sounds
just sat there thinking,
nonsensical.
you're stuck by your own rules. Do you
Yeah.
know what I mean? And someone might correct me, but I think it was around the fact that he had a card. It was just great. I actually probably thought it was a red card, realistically, because actually it did push him and he struck out if you look at the current rules. But the fact that Zilic had to wait whilst the referee was then allowed to look on his screen, it's just, yeah, VAR is, it's just crazy. It just, like, I was chatting to an Arsenal fan who came to the game on Tuesday night, was at the Man United game. Arsenal scored that late winner against Manchester United. And he said, you sort of celebrated, but then you knew it was going to be reviewed and you thought, well, it's Man United, they get away with it. It goes back to what I said many, many years ago in VAR coming. You won't get players celebrating goals
No.
because they're going to be stupid. And it's happening that way. But yeah, that's VAR. Thankfully, we haven't got it. But let's be fair, right? Just as much as we have seven subs now on the bench, we can use five. A VAR version will come into League Two in the next 5 years, easily, in my opinion.
I have no doubt about this, sadly. Everything wings its way down to our level eventually, including padded seats in the dugout. No idea why you need those, like these blooming
Heated
pampered
seats. We
footballers.
need heated seats. It's cold now.
We don't need heat seats.
It's cold.
That's all part of being alive. You have to deal with the winter time. It was particularly cold on Tuesday night with that wind, it must be said. But digital advertising, again, that's something that's come down. And again, it's just midweek games, Stu. We turned down the brightness of them previously, as I said last week, but midweek games, they still don't mix. It's still impossible.
Ryegas will sneak back in there, luminous orange. I
Yeah, I
love it.
have, and I
That's
couldn't see.
what they're known for, isn't it? But it's just not ideal, is it, on the
Well, I hope they're known for their they were doing gas works and stuff.
Yeah, but their marketing is so good in terms of that. It stands out everywhere, doesn't it?
You can't
But
miss
it
it.
stands at it stands well, yeah, exactly. But you can't miss it when it's on the side of a pitch and on the advertising
Yes. It's
boarding. But yeah, you're right.
not just them, to be fair though, all of it,
No,
when the ball's on
no.
the floor on the
But
touchline, it's impossible. But yeah, hey.
it's money, isn't it? Without them, we ain't got money. They've been long-serving the sponsors, so we're very lucky to have them.
This is true. Maybe just with some traditional advertising hoardings.
Traditional.
Traditional. Yes, please. Anyway, we're running out of time now, I've noticed, Stu. So,
Yes.
Jackson 5.
Yeah, I'll be rubbish at it, but yes, let's have a quick out.
I think you might not be too bad this week. So, the club have released another
Yeah.
retro kit, the black and white kit from 93 to 95. So, I remember correctly with
Yeah.
the nice crazy gang moniker on the shirt, which we all know and love. But it got me
Yes.
thinking about the last time we wore that shirt, which was in 94, 95, and the
Yeah.
squad that we had that season. And five members of that squad would go on to be employed by AFC Wimbledon. Do you know who those five players are?
Oh my days. Oh, mate. So let's think about the players. So Michael Scale can be one.
Yep.
Neil Sullivan.
Yep.
Jermaine Dyton. Or was that too early?
No, he'd have been about four. Maybe not quite that
I was going to
young.
say, he's probably still the same size at four as he was when he was fully grown.
Bye.
Roger Joseph?
Roger Joseph. What a shout. Have you got the 94-95 squad up on your screen?
No, honestly, no. No, because Roger Joseph, I remember, and I'm thinking that I actually thought he might not have been, might have been a bit thing. But I mean, Roger, how many games did he play for AFC Wimbledon? I
Not
loved it, Roger
no
Joseph.
competitive games, not one competitive game, all friendlies.
He obviously got injured, didn't he? He was old.
Yeah,
Who else would it be? Then? How many have I got? I've got
you've got
three.
two players to guess and you've got two guesses left.
David Connolly.
Nah, way too early,
Ah,
way
I
too
thought that was
early
a
for
clever
David
one.
Connolly. You
Neil
said
Ardy would it? Yeah. No,
say
Neil
again,
Ardy didn't. Neil Ardy.
Neil Ardley, absolutely Neil Ardley.
But he managed, he didn't play. Oh, this I
Yeah, but
didn't listen to the
I
question.
said employed by.
Employed.
Yeah. But
That
hey,
doesn't
he is
make
the only
any.
one that didn't play for AFC Wimbledon but managed us.
I
But
can't
yeah.
think of the.
You've had your six guesses, Stu. I'm gonna have to put you've done well though.
Oh,
Four out of five. The
who
other
did I
one
miss?
was Jason Newell.
Oh, what a div. Oh, what a div. That was too. Oh, I was so excited when he came back with Jason Yule.
No, right. Well, possibly my favourite player.
Even though I saw him as a 15-year-old in the youth team, and then I saw him at the end of his career, that tells you you're old.
Yeah, I know. As I keep, but as I say to you, Stu, my relationship with football definitely changed the day that Ryan Sweeney stepped out to play for us. That was when it was like,
Yeah.
yeah, you're not sitting in the back of geography class now talking to me about football. Well, you should be doing your work.
You've now made a career.
Yes, you've now got your career in. Yeah, that was surreal. But anyway, I'm sure, obviously, I'm not the first person to have experienced that, and I won't be the last. Persons Field on Saturday. We have to go through this very, very quickly. Let me get my stats up very quickly as well. They got spanked last Saturday at home to Salford. They lost 5-2, which was, of course, the score they beat us by at Field Mill earlier in the season. But their form is otherwise good. They have four wins from their last six. They've scored 15 times in those six games. And they are unbeaten away from home since New Year's Day. Nigel Clough remains their manager. He got them to the playoff final last year in this division where they lost to Port Vale, if I remember correctly. They've got some good players. Obviously, another team that's got a little bit of investment behind them from somewhere. Jordan Bowrey, Lucas Aitken, Stephen Quinn, and James Perch, to name but four of their squad. I think we are due a win, Stu. We are due a win, but I think this is a difficult one.
Honestly, this is a tough game. And you know what? The interesting thing I'm looking at Steve Evans, about 1,100 games managed. Nigel Clough, 1,400 games.
Wow.
That's mad when you think about the experience that Nigel Clough, and he still looks like he's only 20, doesn't he? Nigel Clough, he
He
doesn't look
doesn't,
like
yeah,
he's
he doesn't
aged.
age. No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean? And so I just think by your manager and stuff like that, they obviously lost a few players to Gillingham, Ollie Watkins, and I can't remember the other guy, but they were quite influential
Ollie
for them.
Hawkins.
Yeah, Ollie Hawkins, who interestingly plays centre half for Mansfield, but is up front for Gillingham. He can play either role. But yeah, I think it's a tough game. I think we just saw they've got the most penalties, 7 penalties this season.
Right.
So it's quite handy. We've got one of the better penalty keepers. But yeah, I think it's a really tough game. They scored lots of goals. We just joked off screen, it'd probably be nil nil. But in all seriousness, I think there'd be quite a few goals because we've conceded seven
Yeah.
in recent times. So, but sort of, Salford don't normally score lots of goals. And
No, neither
apparently,
do Mansfield.
Mansfield do score quite a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
But when you think, 5-2, but then, hey, look, John, there's going to be some revenge. If you think about the game we had at their place, we were 2-0 up, Josh Davison coasting, and then we obviously got Hunter sent off, which was later rescinded. So maybe there's a little bit of needle in that. So, hey, look, it's a tough game, but then this week was always going to be tough.
So your score prediction will be
Nil-nil.
brilliant. No, let's go for a
Oh, everyone turn up.
4-3. We haven't
It's
had that for a while.
kids for a quid, isn't it? It's kids for a quid on Saturday.
Children are allowed into the ground for £1.
Yes,
Yes.
and £2 to get, and £2 to get out.
Yeah. It's like the Severn Bridge. All right. We have to wrap up very, very quickly. I suppose we should, before we go, Stu, say that our thoughts, of course, with Oxford United at this difficult time, managerless after however many years that Carl Robinson was in charge there, but it's not ended the way I think he was expecting it to. Similar to how it ended at Milton Keynes, to be honest with you. But I won't be dancing around my living room about it, but just put that out there that he is no longer under employ. Anyway, enough about him. I think that's it. Updates from Persons Field will be on our Twitter at 9YRS Podcast, 9 Years TV, of course, pre and post match as always. And I think that's it, Stu. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but we've got a minute left, so we have to wrap up.
Just very quick well done to the women's team who beat hashtag 4-0 in their top of the table clash. So well done to them. They've got a good record against hashtag. They just can't, they're not as consistent. They keep, well, if you lose one game in that league, you're in trouble. But well done to the women's team.
Well done. Well done, ladies. Excellent result there. Anyway, that is it for this week. So, Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.